Amen. God bless you tonight. Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43 tonight, if you will stand with us as we read and honor the word of the living God. Amen. I want to read the complete text tonight since we got just a little more time. Amen. Isaiah 43 beginning in verse number 1. Isaiah the prophet writes, "But now thus said the Lord, that created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Saba for you. Since you were precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth." Now I want you to catch verse 7, and this will complete our reading. But verse 7 says, "Even everyone that is called by my name." I want to read that again. "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him." Let's pray tonight. Father, speak a word to us. We need to hear from you. Open our eyes that we may see and understand and perceive how awesome you are. Take our focus off of the things and the concerns and the cares of the world and place them upon your glorious face. Speak to us tonight. Give us understanding. Lord, we need to hear from you. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 This morning, we lightly tapped into Isaiah 43. Grace for those who have fallen. You see, the truth of the matter is that we all fall down sometime. The truth of the matter is that sometime we all make wrong and ungodly decisions. All of us are guilty sometimes of sinning and falling short of what God would have us to be. And when we choose, listen, when we choose to live a life of sin, a life of rebellion, a life that is going in the wrong direction, as a believer, God have to bring us into that place of suffering and correction. He had to bring us to that place where he can purge us, where he can cleanse us, where he can remold us and reform us into what he would have us to be. He does not do it out of anger. He does not do it out of his wrath, but rather it is the redeeming love of God that pursues after the believer when we have fallen. I told you this morning that I thank God for grace. I thank God for this thing called unmerited, unearned favor. Because it's not only grace that brings us into salvation, that connects us to God, but it's that same grace that continually works in our lives once we are saved to keep us saved, to keep us in the grace of God, or to keep us connected to God. When we come to Isaiah 43, Isaiah is writing to a broken people. Isaiah is writing to a people who is in a miserable condition, and is because of their own doing. It's because they chose to sin against God. It's because they chose to live life in the wrong direction. It's because they would not hearken and heed to the warnings of God that had brought them into Babylonian exile. What I'm glad about is that God's good grace, God's unmerited favor that has brought us into salvation, don't give up on us when we fall short of what we ought to be. Now, I told you this morning that God is not like us. I thank God for that. I thank God that's found a man as I know Robert White is. I thank God that God ain't like Robert White. I thank God that God don't think like we do. I thank God that God don't respond to our failures and our faults the way we respond to one another.
That's right. Amen.
Grace keeps God from giving up on us when everybody else have. Listen, grace keeps us connected when we're doing all that we can to break the connection. So I told you this morning, because I really want to just teach tonight. Listen, I told you this morning that grace reminds us that we are his personal possession, even when we find ourselves in that place of pain and suffering of our own making. The prophet in Isaiah 43, verse 1, in the last part of verse 1, he said, "You are mine. You belong to me." Now, let me tell you something. Listen, in fact, I want you to turn back with me to Isaiah 40. Let me show you something real quick. Because I want you to see how they were thinking. Listen, something amazing happens to us when we fall into sin. When we fall into sin, it's amazing what happens in our thinking. It's amazing how we begin to have a different view of God. Whenever we fall into sin, that we're prone to think a couple of things. And I want y'all to say amen if you agree with me. Number one, listen, when we fall into sin, we are prone to think that either God don't care, or God is not aware of the suffering that we're enduring because of our sins. See, listen. Maybe I need to say that a different way. Whenever we fall into sin and we rebel against God, you can rest assured that discipline is coming. That chastisement is coming. Let me tell you something. Listen, just because God hadn't said nothing about your sin yet, don't mean that he's ignoring it. So whenever we fall into sin, listen to me, one of the things that happens if we don't repent, if we don't turn from that thing, we can rest assured that God is going to take us to the woodshed. Now, in the midst of that suffering, in the midst of that pain, in the midst of that shame and embarrassment, because sin will bring some shame. It'll bring some embarrassment. In the midst of that, listen, Salawah, we're prone to think that if God don't hurry up and get us out of this mess that we're in and get us back to some normalcy in life, we're prone to think that either God don't care or that God don't know how we're suffering. Amen. You will be amazed at the Christian, listen, who have walked away from church. They have given up on the faith. They have thrown in the towel because of some suffering that they brought into their lives. But when God didn't respond the way they thought he ought to respond, and when he thought they thought he ought to respond, they just threw in the towel.
Come on. Amen.
Now stay with me tonight. This is just teaching here. Number one, we're prone to think he don't care. We're prone to think, listen, Brother Cliff talked this morning about going to the jail ministry. And one of the things that you meet when you go to the jail is that you meet Christian young men and women who know that they've been saved. They can tell you the day and the hour that Jesus Christ come into their life to be their Lord and Savior. But they got off on the wrong track. And God, out of his love and out of his goodness and out of his grace, rather than put them in the grave, he put them in the jail. And you'll be amazed at how many of them that's in there that think that God has forgotten all about them. We're prone to think that either God don't care or that God don't know when we're suffering because of our sin. But here's the second thing that we're prone to think. When we fall into a grievous sin or we get into a lifestyle that we ought not be in and we begin to suffer for that lifestyle, we tend to think that there's no way that we can recover from where we are. Here's the third thing. Not going to talk about numbers. Here's the third thing. One of the things that many people suffer with. There are people right in the church, perhaps even some at Solid Rock, that can't get beyond yesterday because what they did, they feel like it's too big for God to forgive. You'll be amazed at the people that's clapping their hands and patting their feet and saying amen. But all along, down on the inside, they full of guilt. They full of unforgiveness. They don't understand that God is not like man. God don't have a problem forgiving. He's a God that is full of forgiveness. And there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people who, when they find themselves in that place of suffering because of their sins, they find it hard to forgive themselves. You'll be amazed at the young ladies who are still hurting and still grieving over something that they did when they were teenagers. Grace of God have forgiven them. Grace of God have done all that he could to restore them, but they can't forgive themselves. So stay with me for just a minute. Listen, I want you to look with me in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. Because I want you to see tonight where the thinking of this people was. Verse 27 says, and this is the Lord speaking, and he's echoing the words that the people had been speaking, and they didn't know that he was listening. He said, why say thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he faint not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increased strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, I want you to go back to verse 27 and 28, because I want you to see their mindset. Because they were suffering because of their sin, because they were taken from their homeland and they were being held captive against their will, they thought that after 70 years that God wasn't concerned about their situation, that God wasn't concerned about their condition. And they began to talk one to another, and they said, you know what? Somehow or another, God has forgotten about us. Somehow or another, God has left us out of this wonderful covenant that he made with Abraham. When we're suffering because of our sin, we tend to think that if it takes too long, you see, we're funny. We'll take our time and enjoy the season of sin. Boy, we'll soak it up for everything that his word. But when the suffering, you see, the Bible says, what a man sow must he also reap. We were so slow. But listen, when it comes to reaping, we wanted to be over with in a hurry.
Yes, sir. Yes, amen.
When I was a kid, mama didn't always whip us at the first act of disobedience. Mama sometimes would let disobedience go on for 2 or 3 days. You get by with it today. And she said, boy, you need to make sure we got some firewood in. And wasn't no firewood in when the sun go down. And she didn't say nothing. And we slowly soaked that thing up watching TV and enjoying the good life. But when it came time to pay the penalty for your crime, we wanted to be over with in a hurry. And that's what Israel was. That's what they were. That's what they were. And they're thinking, Lord help me tonight, that they're thinking that God had forgotten about them, that God has forsaken them, that God has just turned his back. You ever been to that place in your life where you fell so low that the enemy will come along and try to make you believe that you're so low that not even God cares about you anymore?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Go back to Isaiah 43. We all fall sometimes. But let me tell you something. Listen to me. We fall, and there's a price for sinning against God. But you don't have to quit church, and you don't have to lose your faith, and you don't have to run out of town because there's some suffering involved. Number one, here's what grace did for them. And I'm going to give you four more real quick, and we'll go home. Number one, the first one I gave you this morning, grace makes us God's personal possession. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, God reminded them, I created you, I formed you, I redeemed you, and I called you. You belong to me. You belong to me. Grace keeps us connected to God in those moments, in those seasons when we're suffering because of our sin. I thank God for that this morning. I thank God for that grace that's able to hold on to me even when I've given God every reason to let me go. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. It's found in verse number 2. Look at verse number 2. He said, when thou pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. The second thing that grace does for us when we're in Babylon, when we're suffering because of our own sin, is grace makes us the object of divine protection. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let me ask you something. Listen, have you ever went through some suffering and you knew while you were going through it that you were going through it because you made a bad decision?
Amen.
It hurts, don't it? It's painful, ain't it? But let me tell you a little secret. As painful as it is, and as much as the devil would like to catch you and to destroy you right there, you still wasn't getting what you deserved. I thank God tonight, listen to me, that even in the midst of our rebellion and in the midst of our sin, grace makes us the object of God's divine protection. I want you to look at verse number 2. Is this making sense tonight? Listen, he said, not if. I'm getting to underline the word when. Because he didn't say if. But he said when. When you pass through the waters. When you go through the fire. Water and fire represents trouble. It represents adversity. It represents calamities that you and I face as Christians, and we especially face it when we sin against God and we come to that place of suffering. But God said, listen to me. He said, even in the midst of that, he said, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect you. I'm not going to let you get what you ought to get. I'm not going to let you get what you deserve. I'm not going to let the devil have his way with you. Keep in mind that they're in a strange country. They among the Babylonians, some of the most savage people that history has ever known. And had it not been for the protective hand of God, they would have destroyed every Jew that went into that country. But even in the midst of our Babylonian experience, God said, I'm going to be with you. Let me tell you the only reason you survived. Because God was with you. Amen. Let me tell you the only reason you came out of it. Because God was with you. Let me tell you the only reason the devil didn't destroy you while you were in Babylon. Because God was with you. Go with me to Psalm chapter 103. Look at Psalm 103. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Psalms 103. And I want to begin reading in verse number 8. Psalms 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Look at verse number 10. He have not dealt with us after our sin, or he have not dealt with us according to the punishment that our sin deserved, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he know our frame. Aren't you glad tonight that God knows what we made of? Amen. He knows what's in us. He knows what we're capable of, and he knows what we're not capable of. He knows where we can go and where we can't go. He knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembers that we are but the dust of the earth. Thank God this tonight that when we're in Babylon, even because of our failures, even because of our own self-inflicted suffering, the protective hand of God is with us. His grace makes us the object and the recipients of his protection. That's the only reason we survive. That's the only reason we make it. Go back to Isaiah with me. Is this making sense tonight? Amen. The first thing, grace makes us God's personal possession. Second thing, grace makes us the object and keeps us the object of his divine protection. But here's the third thing. Grace qualifies us for his divine presence. I want you to look again in verse number 2. He said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I like that. Listen, God didn't say I'm going to send an angel. God didn't say I'm going to send a prophet. He said, I'm going to be with you. Grace makes us recipients and qualifies us for his divine protection, even when we're in a bad place because of bad decisions. I'm glad about that, Terry Glover. I thank God for his grace tonight. I thank God that not only has this grace saved me and brought me into the family, but this grace makes it possible for God to stay with me. Listen to me. Stay with me in spite of me. Let me tell you a misconception that we have sometimes. When we're in that hard place, when we're in that place of suffering, and we know we're there because of some decisions that we made, and that's the interesting thing. We may not admit it. We may not come clean. But the Holy Spirit will always show you somewhat of why you where you at. I've been in some suffering. I'm telling you, I've been in some suffering. And I look around and I say, well, this is mama's fault. Holy Spirit's no, it ain't. I said, well, this is so-and-so's fault. No, it ain't. Well, if I had been brought up in a better environment, I wouldn't be. Oh, yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. Yeah. But even in the midst of that, listen, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Even in the midst of that, listen, he don't leave us. He don't forsake us. He don't cast us off. He don't run away from us. He never throw his hands up and say, I'm not going to have anything else to do with Dan. Amen. No, he's mine. He's mine. He belongs to me. Listen, and because he's there, I'm going to be there. Hi, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Here's the fourth thing real quick. We run to a close tonight. Listen. Grace makes it possible for us to be rescued, reconciled, and restored back to a right fellowship with God. I'm going to say it again, Mr. God. Listen, grace makes it possible for us to be rescued, reconciled, and restored back to a right fellowship with God. Amen. When we become saved, now catch this. When we become saved, we're saved by grace. Through faith. And what grace does, grace enables faith to apply the blood to our lives. So really, when you boil it all down, it is the blood that makes the difference. Yes. It is the blood of Christ that has been smeared upon us. That begins to flow through our veins. And God identifies with us, and God receives us not based upon the color of our skin or our nationality or anything of ourselves, but it's because the blood has been applied to our lives. Amen. Now, when you get under the blood, you come into a relationship with God. Amen. Just like your children, when they are born into this world, they are born into a relationship with you. But a lot of times, as children, we will rebel against our parents. Now, the relationship is not broken because the relationship is based on the blood. What's been broken is the fellowship. What Israel had done is they had not broken the relationship because the relationship was based upon the blood of the lamb that had been sacrificed, but the fellowship was broken. But grace, listen, watch this. Grace makes it possible for a bad, rebellious, hard-headed, stupid child to be reconciled back into the family. I've known some young men and women who didn't want to live by mama and dad's government. So they decide they're going to leave. They decide they got it. They could have a better idea than what they got it at home. And so they decide to leave. But I'm going to tell you something. Being cold and being hungry and being lonely are some great persuaders to come back home. Now, when they come back home, they don't have to reestablish themselves as a son or a daughter. That's been done through the blood. What they have to reestablish is the fellowship. And when a believer, listen to me, when a believer sins against God and there is no repentance and there is no confession, what is broken is our fellowship with God. And I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but it's a miserable thing for a child of God to be out of fellowship with God. Grace makes it possible for us to be restored to a right fellowship with God. You know, the only reason that God don't close the door and lock it behind you when you walk away from him is because of his grace. It's because of his goodness. It's because of his unmerited favor. Grace keeps the door of heaven open. Grace makes it possible for you to come back even when you know you don't deserve to come back. Won't you look with me in verse 4 through 6. Verse 4 through 6. God says to the children of Israel, since you have been precious in my sight and you have been honored and I have loved you, therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather them from the west. And I will say to the north, give up. And I say to the south, don't keep back. Bring forth my sons and my daughters. You listen, here's what God is speaking of. He's speaking of restoring back to them that fellowship that sin had broken, that rebellion had broken. What an awesome God we serve. And what a wonderful thing this grace is. Grace makes it possible for us to be reconciled. Grace makes it possible for us to be restored back to a right fellowship with the Lord. Here's the final thing tonight from Isaiah. We got two other verses I want to look at and we'll go home. But grace makes it possible for us to reposition and realign ourselves for life purpose. When we're living in sin, we get off course of the real purpose for life. When we're living in sin and we're living life our way, and when we're in rebellion against God, listen, we lose sight and focus of our real purpose. But the grace of God helps us to realign and reposition ourselves for our real purpose in life. I want you to look with me in verse number 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. God said, I've created you, I've saved you, I formed you, I redeemed you, I called you for my glory. And worry not for the grace of God. When we get out there in a world of sin and a world of suffering, were it not for the grace of God, we would never come back to God. But grace enables us to realign ourselves and reposition ourselves so we can live out our true purpose in life. Thank God for grace. Amen. Thank God for grace for the fallen. I'm telling you, it is by grace, my friend. It is by grace. It is by grace from start to finish. It is by the grace of God. The Apostle Paul would say later on in the New Testament that I am what I am by the grace of God. He would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that his grace is sufficient no matter where you find yourself in life. And so I thank God tonight for grace for the fallen. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. I want to show you something. I want to just read the first few verses in the first three verses, verse 33 through 34 or 35. Listen what Paul said. He said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Verse 34, who is he that condemns? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then skip over to verse 37. To answer all of these questions, Paul said, nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present, nor heights, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, what a powerful thing this grace is. Not only does grace bring us in, but grace keeps us in. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus didn't save you and bring you in and said, okay, you're on your own now? But the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians that when we got saved, our lives are hidden in Christ Jesus. In order for you, in order for you and I to be lost again, you got to lose Christ. Because our lives are hid in him. Final verse tonight. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This is one of my favorite verses. One of the verses that I read when the enemy try to get me twisted up in the head. One of the verses that I rely upon. Paul writes in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I am absolute confidence that what God has started in you, he will not stop. He will not quit. He will not give up until that day when Jesus Christ comes to take you home. I'm glad about that. I'm thankful that there's grace for the fallen. It may not mean much to you now because you're standing upright and you clean and sparkling. But I'm telling you, if you keep living in this world, the chances are real good that you're going to get dirty one day. Chances are real good that you're going to stumble, that you're going to fall. I want you to go back to Isaiah 43. And let the Holy Spirit remind you that though you may be dirty, you still his. Though you may be in Babylon, he is still with you. Though you brought this on yourself, you have the promise. If you read the if you read the rest of it, you read the language, God said, I'm going to bring you out of this. That's what God said. God said, listen, because you belong to me, and because my reputation is attached to you, God said, listen, I'm going to bring you out, not for your glory, but for my glory. That's the benefits of grace to the fallen. Now listen, if God extends that kind of grace to us, should we not extend it to others? Amen. Closing statement, I'm closing, I promise I'm through. Listen, if God will let us back in, come on. Once we jumped out, shouldn't we let other folks back in? If God will pick us up and wipe us clean, shouldn't we pick each other up and dust them off? Amen. I love the story of the prodigal son because when the dad seen that boy coming, number one, he ran out to meet him. We put the emphasis on the boy. The emphasis ought to be on the dad. He ran out to meet him. He didn't ask him about the money. He didn't ask him where he had been. He didn't ask him why he stayed so long. He didn't remind him of how foolish he had been. He didn't tell him that you smell like hogs. He didn't ask him about the clothes that he had bought him. The only thing he said, paraphrasing, I'm glad you're home. And we're going to have a party.
Amen.
We're going to have a party. The boy said, Dad, look, so I know I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. He said, make me one of your hired servants. Can I tell you something? That wasn't even a thought to the father. Because when you come under the blood of Jesus, you can never be a servant again. You're a son and a daughter. Kill the fatted calf.
Yes, sir.
Go get a robe and put on this boy.
Amen.
Bring me a ring and put some shoes on his feet, because he's not just a servant. He's a son. He's my child, my blood.
Amen.
And my favor is on him.
Yes.
Stand with me, Lord.